evening, everyone.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the January 6th broadcast of Italian Tomatoes. Everyone, welcome to Italian Tomatoes. I'm your host, Bob Curi, and as that last clip indicated, today is the Feast of the Epiphany. That is the traditional celebration of the arrival of the wise men to pay witness to the baby Jesus, and is a holiday on the Christian calendar, and a particularly important holiday on the Orthodox Christian calendar. Plays a bigger role in Eastern Christianity than it does in Western Christianity. The chat is open if you wish to participate in the chat and to call into the show. The number is 646-478-0004. That's 646-478-0004. Before we begin with the main topic of tonight, I did want to mention that there is another tragedy, which is always terrible at any time of the year, but particularly so around the holidays. There was a shooting at the Fort Lauderdale airport. I think five people have been killed. And it occurred in the baggage claim area. The gunman has been apprehended. Apparently, a young man from Florida, military, maybe military veteran. That's a little unclear. Motive unclear. I mean, everything tends to be unclear this early. So our prayers go out to the victims and their families. And, of course, and also the family of the gunman, because apparently there was no indication that he was violent until he committed the act. So That's always a big shock when something like that occurs for the family of the accused. Tonight we're going to go into the, seems very appropriate considering it is the Epiphany and the importance of that traditional celebration in the Eastern Orthodox calendar. We're going to go into just the ongoing controversy surrounding Russia, its hacking, alleged or real, of the 2016 presidential election, and the role of the media in not reporting the story, because the story should be reported, all stories should be reported, but for emphasizing certain parts of it and underplaying other parts of it when it comes to the general subject of hacking. So that will be our main subject for tonight. And to get the ball rolling, basically, I mean, I think what you've got to deal with the chattering classes is that they're still in shock from the unexpected loss of Hillary Clinton in the 2016 presidential race. Hillary Clinton is in shock, the Democrats are in shock, and their allies in the major media are in shock. So to kind of drive that point home, I'll play one of what has emerged as one of my favorite clips in the post-election cycle.
The Russians, Putin's Russia, Russia,
why aren't I 50 points ahead?
The Kremlin, Putin, and the Russian government,
why aren't I 50 points ahead?
Russian, Putin, the Russian, Russia, the Kremlin, the Russian, Putin, Russia.
Now, it's important for people to understand just exactly what happened in the 2016 presidential election. Why the Electoral College tally this time was so different than it was when Barack Obama won in 2008 and 2012. In 2016, the Democrats lost six key states that Obama carried in 2012. And those states are Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa, and Florida. And the Democratic margin there collapsed by substantial percentage points. For example, in 2012, Barack Obama carried Pennsylvania with 51.9% of the vote. In 2016, Hillary Clinton only got 47.5%. That was a percentage point shrinkage of 4.4 percentage points. In Ohio, the collapse was 7.4 points. In Michigan, it was 7 points. In Wisconsin, it was 6.3 points. In Iowa, it was over 10 points. And in Florida, it was 2.5 points. And those are substantial compressions in vote share, and that made Donald Trump president. I mean, the main driver of Hillary Clinton's loss in 2016 was her failure to convince people who voted for Barack Obama in 2012 to vote for her in 2016. And it's hard to see how Russia or hacking had anything to do with it, other than maybe the fact that the DNC email leaks reminded people of her trustworthiness problem, but there was nothing false about the information that was revealed in the DNC leaks. No one is questioning their authenticity. But, of course, Hillary's trustworthiness problem was established long before then, by the various incidents involving Benghazi, the Clinton Foundation, and, of course, the infamous private server. Nevertheless, the media, allied with the Clinton camp, has seized upon the Russian hacking narrative to try to distract from what is objectively a massive election failure on the part of Hillary Clinton. And so the rest of our podcast tonight, broadcast podcast, is just going to be to shed some more light from different perspectives on that failure. The first clip I want to play is from Dick Morris, and he's focusing on Hillary herself. What is she up to? Clearly, she has not faded away in the post-election period. So what's driving her mania for publicity in trying to fan the flames and focus attention on the hacking narrative? And this is his take on what's making her tick in this area. And it's having a little trouble loading. Right? Brother. Sometimes Blog Talk Radio. We can get this thing going. This may be successful. Is not cooperating.
Well, obviously, she's working on delegitimizing the Trump triumph, blaming it all on Russia, saying that it had nothing to do with her corruption or her scandals or her terrible campaign strategy or her bungled campaign staffing, nothing to do with any of that, or a lack of personality or the lack of appeal to the voters. It had everything to do with Comey and the FBI investigation, Russian hacking, and disinformation and fake news and everything to do with that. And that's all, of course, designed to delegitimize the Trump triumph, saying that she won more of the popular vote and that it really wasn't the kind of defeat that it certainly appears to be. And lying behind that, of course, is the level of huge level, always with Hillary, of shrewd political calculation to make it appear as if Hillary was cheated out of the election, to create the same aura around her that Al Gore had around him after losing the 2000 election, that had been stolen from him. And she's working on trying to create that sense and build that case. But I think there's something more at work here. I think Hillary is continuing to campaign, continuing to go to dinners and give speeches and even attend the inauguration because she has nothing else to do. And she doesn't know how else to live. Ever since they became governor of Arkansas back in 1978, everything in Hillary's life has been planned, usually by a staff that she's assembled that makes all of the decisions about logistics. How is she going to get from here to there? Where is she going to spend the night? Where is she going to eat? What is she going to eat? Who is she going to meet with? What dinners will she attend? Everything is planned out for her. And all of a sudden, that staff is gone. Everybody's out of there. You no longer see her with Uma or with Cheryl Mills or with any of them. Some of them are running screaming, hoping the federal prosecutor won't find them, and others have just simply moved on with their lives. But Hillary has no life with which to move on. It's not like she has hobbies or like she has other things she likes to do, or things she's liked to return to, or a business that she might have been engaged in that now she can pick up where she left off, or even a skill and a talent that's latent and unexploited that she'd like to develop. None of that exists with her. a totally unidimensional person has been deprived of that unidimension, and the result isn't pretty. So the fact that she's flapping around trying to restart her career, well, of course, not admitting it, shouldn't make you feel she's going to do that. The fact of the matter is that she's doing that because she can't do anything else. Hi. Today's lunch.
Okay. So I think that's a very intriguing perspective. And to a degree, this phenomenon, you see it with many very powerful type A personalities where their whole life revolves around their public persona and profile, and who don't go willingly into retirement and private life. I mean, you saw it, it's across the political spectrum. I mean, Margaret Thatcher had that problem. Winston Churchill, whose biography I'm reading after watching the TV series The Crown, had that problem. It's not exclusively a leftist political problem, but I think it's intensified with the left because the left is so focused on government that once you are out of government, it gets hard to find roots in anything else than government. And I think that is certainly driving Hillary's persistence in staying in the limelight. Now, what about the people allied with Hillary, which would be the Democratic Party establishment and their allies? And there's no other word for it now. I mean, the Democratic Party establishment and the major media outlets have really merged into a single acting entity. They act as one. There is no daylight between them at all anymore. So what's driving their persistence in driving the hacking narrative, which is very scantily backed up by factual information, and persisting in this public position that somehow the Trump victory in the 2016 presidential election was flawed and imperfect and illegitimate? And here I'm going to go to a very entertaining emerging YouTube personality, H.A. Goodman, whose perspective is leftist. He was a big Bernie Sanders supporter. But he considered Trump the lesser of two evils, but he voted for Jill Stein. His take on it is that, basically Hillary Clinton blew the election by cheating Bernie Sanders and by having a total inability to manage her campaign. She blew through $1.2 billion. And all of the corruption and ethical compromises in her background just came back to bite her during the election cycle. And he focuses a lot on this in the latest twist on the WikiLeaks/Russia connection. So this is interesting. It's about 6 minutes long. And did I disconnect myself? No, I'm still there. Okay. So here. Now I have another problem. Oh my God. The show is. Tonight is just production problem night. Production problem. Production problem night. My switchboard froze. And unfortunately, there is only one thing that I'm going to be able to do to recover from this, which is I have to shut the computer off. Oh, my God. All right, well, let's do it. So I'm afraid the rhythm of the show is going to be broken while we restore restore the computer to where it should be. And I do apologize for that. Basically, though, you know, while we're waiting, while I'm waiting for the computer to reboot, the Democrats are just in a terrific hole right now, because, I mean, $1.2 billion, they really have blown through quite a wad of cash. How do you replace that? Now, if they had won the 2016 election, there would probably be a lot of ways that they could sort of replenish their reserves. And the Clintons themselves, even though there had been some talk about shutting down their foundation post-election, they being very clever people, could have found ways to get the cash stream going again. But when you have the electoral failure that they just experienced, you no longer have Congress, you no longer have the presidency, and your position in the states is as weak as it's been in two generations, what do you do? How do you, because the Democratic Party, without the enthusiasm of the lefty wing of the party, which was alienated when they cheated Bernie Sanders, how do you get resources to fuel effective campaigns in the future when your political base has deteriorated to the degree that it has? And this is just a huge challenge for them. And I think that we're going to see, them really floundering. So given the fact that they do have this toehold, this beachhead — it's not a toehold, it's so much more — in the mainstream media, I think that what they're focusing on is, try to get a narrative going that God, I'm having more problems. Now the computer is frozen again. Oh, okay, it's come back. Oh, I do apologize for this. Sometimes, all the will in the world, you can't get a smooth operation going. So anyway, I mean, one of their survival strategies is to flog this narrative to distract attention from the incoming Trump administration, to try to damage its credibility, perhaps rev up the fundraising and the activists again, and see if they can get the ball rolling. But, I think it's very irresponsible to use a national security issue that is largely bogus in order to revive the short-term political fortunes of a failed political candidate. So anyway, and now I have to find my clip. There is nothing worse than an in progress shutdown when you're in the middle of a Blog Talk Radio show. My clip is loading. Bear with me. Taking its sweet time, though. Bad today. All right, we're almost there. Okay. Let's get this thing rolling. All right, here is our friend. H.A. Goodman.
My name is H.A. Goodman. I'm an author, columnist, and journalist. And to read my writings, see my latest CNN appearances and my MSNBC and RT appearances, you can go to hagoodman.com. I'll be coming out with a new publication February 1st. You're going to love it, whether you're progressive, conservative, independent. There's something for everybody there. WikiLeaks just tweeted out something very interesting. Reuters, Anon U.S. officials admit that WikiLeaks, quote, source is not Russia. Now shift goalposts. Two sources source. So the whole Russia did it is now Russia told someone else to do it. That's what it is. It's hashtag, it's not hashtag Russia did it. It's hashtag Russia told someone else to do it, and that someone else then sent the information to WikiLeaks. The only problem is there's no evidence, no proof, no emails, no nothing of Russian hackers that were said to have worked for the Russian government on behalf of the Russian government emailing, contacting Julian Assange or WikiLeaks. There's no evidence at all that they worked on behalf or that they gave the DNC and the Podesta emails to WikiLeaks. But I'll go ahead and read you the article that U.S. obtained evidence that Russia leaked emails, say officials. But when you read the article, it's actually not that conclusive. It's now about sources of sources. So U.S. intelligence agencies obtained what they considered to be conclusive evidence. It's so interesting. This is, quote, journalism. It's never, they did it and that's it. It's U.S. intelligence agencies obtained what they considered, well, we consider it. We don't know if it's conclusive evidence, but we consider it to be so. What they considered to be conclusive evidence after the November election that Russia provided hacked material from the Democratic National Committee to WikiLeaks through a third party. Three U.S. officials said on Wednesday, of course, nobody knows these U.S. officials by name, and we don't know what kind of officials they are, but they're U.S. officials. U.S. officials. U.S. officials say. U.S. officials had concluded months earlier that Russian intelligence agencies had directed the hacking but had been less certain that they could prove Russia had also controlled the release of information damaging the Democratic presidential candidate, Hillary Clinton. The timing of the additional intelligence report is important because U.S. President Barack Obama has faced criticism from his own party over why it took his administration months to respond to the cyber attack. Well, I'll tell you why. So now it's through a third party. So Russia provided hacked material from the Democratic National Committee to WikiLeaks through a third party. No longer, this is Russia, WikiLeaks. Here's the info. Here's the DNC info where Donna Brazile can be fired from CNN and Debbie Wasserman Schultz can be fired from the DNC. It's now a third party. Gee, why did President Obama wait for so long? Why didn't Obama do more about Russian hack, election hack? You can actually, the great thing about the internet is just a couple months prior to the latest propaganda, you can look up exactly why the new propaganda makes no sense. This is an NBC News article, I'll put it below. Why didn't Obama do more about Russian election hacking? It's pretty honest. The Obama administration didn't respond more forcefully to Russian hacking before the presidential election because they didn't want to appear to be interfering in the election, and they thought that Hillary Clinton was going to win. And a potential cyber war with Russia wasn't worth it. Multiple high-level government officials. So it's very, very bad when Hillary loses $1.2 billion. That's bad. Then Russia, bad. Before, Russia, not so good, but not worth fighting. Now Russia, bad, evil, Cold War, Red Scare. Quote, they thought she was going to win. This is in multiple high-level government officials told NBC News. Quote, they thought she was going to win, so they were willing to kick the can down the road, said one U.S. official familiar with the level of Russian hacking. Yeah, let's kick it down the road. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, she lost. Big problem now. Russia interfered with Hillary Clinton's own disgusting corruption. Her own words. The words of Clinton's campaign. The actual emails. If the worst thing that Russia tells someone else to do, now it's not even Russia, if the worst thing that Russia tells someone else to do on behalf of its own interests is to release, first of all, there's no proof of this, anyway, is to release the actual words and emails of a presidential candidate, nothing more, no power grid issue, that's the whole, that was
the director of national
forged, fabricated by the Washington Post. But if the worst thing that a country does is actually expose the authentic, genuine, pristine emails that were written by Neera Tanden, Robbie Mook, Brian Fallon, John Podesta, Cheryl Mills, Hillary Clinton, actually written by these people, that's okay. It's not that big of a deal. Number one, the U.S. government is not the DNC or the Clinton campaign. Number two, they're the actual words of the Clinton campaign. How about them focusing on actual policies that help their constituents or not talking about accepting money from various countries that fund ISIS or not talking about Bill Clinton and the Clinton Foundation and the 500 conflicts of interest and all the corruption found in these emails? How about not cheating Bernie Sanders? So this is the influence. The influence is essentially us finding out how corrupt Hillary Clinton is. Give me your thoughts below. And the theme also as well is, gee, if Trump had that. Oh, if only it was fair and Trump had his emails exposed. That's what they really care about. But you wouldn't find Trump cheating anybody. Hillary did. You wouldn't find FBI criminal investigations of his foundation or a private server while he was Secretary of State. You have all these issues. You don't have him taking $1 million from a country for his birthday. These are all the things you found and more in Hillary's emails. Even then, it wouldn't be the same. Give me your thoughts below. Now it's Russia told someone else to do it for him, not Russia. The propaganda is diluted every day. Give me your thoughts below. Thank you so much for listening.
Okay. Well, that's very interesting. I love the way how he catches the evolution of the story where, you know, first it was the direct agency of Russia is responsible for hacking the election. And then all of a sudden the narrative shifts, you know, Russia told person A who told B who told C who did the hacking. I mean, you know, you really start to, you know, smell a rat here. And then, of course, the fact that the whole hacking issue as far as foreign powers hacking various sites in the United States has been known for many years. Barack Obama knew it, but they didn't want to do anything about it because everybody assumed that Hillary Clinton would win. Of course, so when the assumption was her victory was inevitable, it was a non-issue. And when her victory didn't materialize, it turned into a very, very big deal, according to them. And taking this theme up and running with it is Sean Hannity. And I thought at this point I would just remark that there has been some major movements of media personalities in the news this week. Megyn Kelly is jumping from Fox, going to NBC. Greta Van Susteren, who had left Fox some months ago, is going to MSNBC, and Tucker Carlson, who launched a show on Fox, a primetime evening show on Fox, he a few months ago, which turned out to be very successful, he's going to go into Megyn Kelly's slot. So a lot of movement going along, but quality for just a reliable source of information, I still think we owe quite a bit to Fox for its consistent presentation of an alternative vision of events. And with that introduction, here's Sean Hannity.
Intelligence James Clapper, he appeared before the Senate Armed Services Committee earlier today and was asked about a major post-election Democratic talking point, the claim that Russian hacking handed the election to Donald Trump. And here's what Clapper said.
They did not change any vote tallies or anything of that sort.
Yeah, I'm just talking
we have
about
no, we have no way of gauging the impact that, certainly the intelligence community can't gauge the impact it had on choices the electorate made. There's no way for us to gauge that. Whether or not that constitutes an act of war, I think, is a very heavy policy call that I don't believe the intelligence community should make, but it's certainly would carry, in my view, great gravity.
All right, let me explain what this means. Everything that you have been hearing from the president, from Hillary Clinton, from her campaign, from the Democratic Party about hacking, determining the outcome of this election, is not true. Now, here's what is true. Now, did the Russians hack into our voting machines? No, they did not. Did WikiLeaks, though, did they reveal how corrupt the liberal news media is and that how they colluded with the Clinton campaign? Yeah, that's true. Did WikiLeaks reveal how some DNC staffers made anti-Semitic, misogynistic, racist, homophobic, sexist comments? Yeah, that was revealed. Did WikiLeaks reveal that the DNC tried to discredit Bernie Sanders and rig the primary for Hillary Clinton? Yeah, that's true. That was revealed too. So this isn't about Julian Assange. This is all just another excuse by the Democrats as to why Hillary Clinton lost the election and an attempt to delegitimize Donald Trump's presidency and his victory. Now, we do know that when Assange was 16 years old, he hacked into NASA. He hacked into the Department of Defense. We have known about WikiLeaks now for 10 years. Now, this group has been publishing classified government information that clearly shows that this country, the United States of America, has major cybersecurity problems. Now, tonight, we're going to play more of our exclusive interview with Julian Assange, where he's going to explain why he does what he does. Here's a quick preview.
Why are we interested in publishing information about power? Because people can do things with power. They can do very bad things with power. If they're incompetent, they can do dangerous things.
Now, we're going to play the rest of that exchange later tonight. But first, I have said this for years. Cybersecurity needs to be beefed up very quickly. Why? We can't have Russia, North Korea, China, Iran, other foreign adversaries hacking into our government systems. So what has the Obama administration done in the past 8 years to stop this? Well, let's take a look at all the government agencies. Now, most of you do not know this. It's not being reported by the media. But let's look at the government agencies that have been hacked into since President Obama took office. Now, since 2009, look at this. Hackers have attacked the U.S. electrical grid. They have attacked the Pentagon's Joint Strike Fighter project. They have attacked NASA. They've attacked the Department of Energy, the Federal Election Commission networks, even the U.S. Postal Service, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. That's been hacked. Look at this. The White House has been hacked since Obama's been president. The State Department has been hacked. The Department of Defense has been hacked. The IRS has been hacked. And the Office of Personnel Management all have been hacked. Now, President Obama, by the way, and John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats, if they were all serious about hacking, then would they have not done something about this while all of this has been happening? Did you even hear about this before? Now, let's take, for example, China. Well, they hacked the Office of Personnel Management. This is 2015. They got sensitive information on over 21 million people in America, and that information means those people's information was compromised. And then the CIA. At the time, they thought the breach was so serious that they removed agency officers that were stationed in China as a precautionary measure. But the president never spoke about it publicly, not one time. No diplomats were removed, no sanctions. Now, we also had Edward Snowden. He was leaking all kinds of classified government information, not to mention the major revelations over the years from WikiLeaks. Look at all this sensitive information that was exposed by WikiLeaks in years earlier, years prior. By the way, have Democrats, John McCain, Lindsey Graham, in all this time, have they done anything? We'll put it back up on the screen. Have they done anything to stop stuff like this that we put on the screen from happening? No, they haven't done anything. So let me put this all into perspective. There is a big difference between a political party being hacked and sensitive U.S. government information that is being stolen, that exposes secrets, and potentially is putting American lives at risk. Now, the only thing the DNC and the Podesta leaks exposed was the truth about the Democrats being corrupt. It confirmed everything that many of us already suspected. So here's my message to the sore loser left. You can complain all you want about this, but the fact is, this has been going on for 8 years and even before that, and President Obama, John McCain, Lindsey Graham did nothing about it. So if Hillary Clinton and the Democrats want to complain, want to blame people, maybe they should blame Barack Obama. Now, I don't think the Democrats are being sincere. I think what they're trying to do is score cheap political points. For example, listen to what Democratic Senator Claire McCaskill.
Okay, well, that about covers everything relevant. Hannity scored big news story by actually interviewing Julian Assange. I think it was almost an hour interview. And if my recollection is that it might have gone over an hour because it was, I think it was two parts to it. And I listened to one part. And it was very interesting. So you really have two narratives going on. You have the conventional Russian hacking narrative being spread by the Democratic National Committee, by Hillary Clinton, and by in the major media. And then you have an alternative narrative that looks at the Russian hacking as part of a much bigger problem of hacking, which has gone on for many years and has been committed by many state actors and private individuals as well. China, North Korea, Russia, Iran are all countries actively involved in espionage and hacking related to the United States, and our own allies spy on us, we spy on them. It's part of a much bigger phenomenon. So do not be fooled. This particular emphasis on Russian hacking of the election is a screen to cover the political failure of the Democrats and of Hillary Clinton. Although I think we've ended the live show, we didn't have any participants tonight in chat or on the phones. So I just want to end with a few remarks. I think on the for future shows, I'm going to keep them on Friday for a little while longer, but probably switch to another day before long. And we'll probably do certainly a show on Inauguration Day. And in future shows, I want to start covering things about taxes as we enter tax season, so that will be a topic of discussion for future shows. So I want to end by wishing everybody a Happy New Year. I appreciate all the people who listen to this show and archives. And once again, we want to, you know, express our condolences and our prayers for the people who were victimized by the latest outbreak of violence at the Fort Lauderdale Airport. I hope everybody has a great weekend. Stay warm. It's cold in a lot of the country. And we will be back in a week or two with more commentary on what's going on in the world of current events. Have a wonderful evening. Good night.